fun for Mike Trout.
Yeah. Casey Lawrence, well, you could handle Evan Longoria. Let's see how you do with this guy. And Shapiro said that the batting coach's job with veterans is basically just to remind them what they were doing when things are going well. Well, he's not doing a good job of it.
What are the odds of being presented with a microphone that Joe might go off script? Just one time to see what happens. And welcome to episode number 53 of Artificial Turf Wars, where the Jays have temporarily lost their MVP and we've lost our marbles. I am your host, Greg Wisniewski, and I am joined this week by Joshua Housam. Josh, how you doing?
Well,
yes,
but I don't know if I can say more than that.
yes, that's a good summation, I think. But we'll get into details later. There's injuries. There's lots of things to talk about. But I would be remiss if I did not thank our patrons who have contributed to Patreon at www.patreon.com/turfpod. A very special thanks to Dave Church, Colleen Evans, and Gideon Turk. And as well, a big thank you goes out to Oscar Jorgen Sandholt, Tom Mully, Luke Peterfield, Dino Champlon, and Melissa Dean. You guys are our favorite listeners. Absolutely, 100%. And we do appreciate the help you give us every month. Now that we've thanked the important folks out there, we should move on to this, the most important team in the universe, the Toronto Blue Jays. Well, who have done everything to reduce their level of interestingness over the first 2 weeks of the season.
It's been, I could not have imagined it being this bad.
I agree. 100%. 2-10.
Like you said, what's the worst start this team's going to get off to? I'm like, oh, geez, I don't know. 5-7, maybe, you know, 4-8 if it goes really bad.
And they've done everything wrong. Now, mostly they haven't hit, but on two occasions where they have hit some sort of decent amount, that the pitching has completely melted down on them. Like the first game where they scored four runs, was it in the first inning or two innings, you thought, well, maybe they're back in Tampa. They got this one. And then Francisco Liriano got an out, and it went downhill from there in a 10-8 loss.
Yeah. By the way, but before you continue, I love how it's like score, like that they've hit like a decent amount. Other than that game you're just talking about, they've never scored more than four runs in a loss. I mean, like, the decent amount level has been reduced to such a low number.
And that's it. But on Sunday, the last game before we record this, because we're recording before Boston comes into town, everyone pray. they scored four runs, which would have been enough to win them about, more than a third of their games, almost a half of their games this year. But they decided to score four runs in the 11-run blowout, where they lost someone else to injury, which I suppose is what we should talk about next.
But also, like, they scored those four runs in the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings against the garbage part of the Orioles bullpen. It was not a good hitting performance. It was Stefan Crichton and Vidal Nuno who pitched those gave up those runs.
There really isn't a lot of good news there. Kevin Pillar hit a home run off of one of those 7th relievers or 8th relievers or however many the Orioles are carrying at the moment. This team certainly has not hit the long ball.
Nope. Eric Thames has more home runs than the Blue Jays.
I would have not objected to Eric Thames coming back, even when I thought he was a middling replacement, you know, backup outfielder. That would have been kind of cool. Now that I know he may actually be a real power threat, and April isn't over, so you don't know exactly what you have in Eric Thames until the league, you know, figures out what he's doing. So I'm not saying Eric Thames is going to be the MVP, but knowing that he can hit 7 home runs in 2 weeks, I kind of miss him. We also miss MVP, former MVP, Josh Donaldson, who's who got back in the lineup. Do you think that was inadvisable to get back in the lineup, or do you think he was doomed regardless with his calf?
I think he was feeling fine enough that it made sense to put him back in the lineup, and then he just did something again to it.
Rounding first base.
Yeah.
That little hippity hop motion is not what you want. It's not what you want from a base runner.
No. No. And you don't want the extreme grimace as you're coming out of the box either.
You know. So they're saying a couple of weeks for Donaldson, but they won't commit at this point.
Well, 2 to 4 weeks was reported today, and you know, given how after being out, he was out for about a month the first time, right?
February 18th, I think, was the date that they gave that he actually initially got injured in the spring.
And he didn't play until at least the back half of March. So that one was about a month too, and he re-injured it. So if anything, I would guess that it's going to be on the long end of this 2 to 4 months.
Weeks.
Yes. Oh God, 2 to 4 months would be horrible.
You never know.
Yeah. And that's big, you know, 4 weeks without him. It means 4 weeks of Darwin Barney and Chris Coughlin in the everyday lineup.
And it's not like anybody but Kendrys Morales has even come close to picking up any slack. That's the other.
Nobody else is hitting. I mean, it's Kevin Pillar. For Kevin Pillar is hitting okay. He's got an on-base percentage over 300, which is, you know, that's pretty good for Pillar. But nobody else is hitting. It's bad.
So, of course, we should go down the other injuries. Prior to J-Hap starting, we found out Aaron Sanchez had a blister flare-up again on... I'm sorry, which finger is it? Does it matter which finger is it? It is?
I'm pretty sure it's his middle finger.
How appropriate. so he's gone for a diagnosis, and they're even talking about doing something to the nail potentially so he doesn't dig in and get the blister or nothing simple.
No, I mean, it's not the first time he's had this issue. He had it at the end of spring. He had it last year for a start. You know, it's becoming a bit of a chronic problem. And was, you know, we saw with Rich Hill last year that blister problems can be bad, or as Jays fans may remember from way back, Al Leiter had the same issue. But they need to fix it, because as a guy who relies so heavily on spinning the ball, it's kind of important to be able to feel your fingertips.
Oh, totally. Totally. I mean, any pitcher, but I don't know. What do you do about skin that blisters? You know, all the jokes about soaking it in various liquids, which may or may not be safe for work, obviously are not, you know, maybe a short-term solution if you've burned yourself with a blister or something. But in the long run, I mean, Rich Hill is... How old is Rich Hill? Is he 40?
37, I think.
37? Like, you would think if it was something you could figure out and eliminate, a 37-year-old pitcher would have had the solution already. So we could be hearing about this for a long time. Hopefully not, yeah. Of course. And then we also lost Jay Happ in the middle of a game. My favorite time to lose a pitcher.
Oh, God. I was at that game.
Yeah.
And Jay Happ was cruising. I mean, he was just dominating the Orioles. And then I see the trainer come out. It's like, oh, no, no. And then he walks out and it's like, Jay Happ going to have an MRI on his elbow. I thought he was done for the year. I thought he was done for his entire contract with the team, basically.
Not that you're jumping to the worst case possible conclusions lately, but...
Well, no, but when you see a guy walk off the mound with an elbow injury, it's usually not a good thing.
No. So apparently he just felt something pull. That still sounds horrible.
Yeah, he's got minor inflammation is what they reported today. And hopefully they think he's going to need only missing a start or two, which, that's a lot different from missing, you know, 12 to 18 months with Tommy John surgery.
Oh, absolutely. So, would you like to go back in time with me for a minute?
Sure.
2012. June 12th. Toronto Blue Jays place right-handed pitcher Brandon Morrow on the 15-day disabled list. Left oblique strain. 2012. Same day. Blue Jays recalled. Do you remember who they recalled to take Brandon Morrow's slot?
I don't know. Is it Ramon Ortiz or something like that?
Aaron Laffey.
Aaron Laffey.
Then on the 15th of June 2012, Blue Jays place Kyle Drabek on 15-day disabled list.
Tommy John.
Yeah, sprained right elbow. And they recalled... That's an interesting one. Who do you think they recalled to replace Kyle Drabek?
Jeez, I don't know.
Brett Cecil.
Drew Hutchison. Brett Cecil, okay.
No, the day after that...
Hutch was the next guy,
The 16th, Hutch was placed on the 15-day disabled list with a sprained right elbow.
I'm John.
Yeah, and they were called Robert Coelho. Amazing, from the 51s. A lot of names I'd forgotten when I went back traveling in time to the worst three-day stretcher ever in Blue Jays starting rotation history. I'm just hoping we don't hear any other names in the next 3 days. Because although they're not as serious, obviously, the injuries, we've discussed at length. We can't afford to lose any starting pitchers, and we just lost two for at least a start, maybe more, in one day, effectively. Like, come on.
Yeah. This is a funny thing that happened. So that day happened to be Bringer of Rain Umbrella Day. And one of there's the famous bad luck things. One of them is opening umbrellas indoors. And then there were a lot of umbrellas being opened indoors during that game. And then, they lose two pitchers on that day. And James and T.O. tweeted out a funny thing. I don't know if you saw it.
I missed it.
Like, I don't know. Maybe we should take a little closer look at these promotions. Mirror and Hammer giveaway day. Black Cat giveaway day. Ladders all over the concourse.
If you have enough bad luck, it cancels out and flips over to good luck, right? That's got to be how it works.
It's really bad. I guess we're going to see Matt Latos or Casey Lawrence would be my guess. Those two guys, assuming that they need to, because they have no days off after this Boston series for the Angel series.
They named in an article I was reading, it was MLB.com or the Star or whoever, and they literally named every member of the AAA rotation as a possible replacement for her. I'm like, well, obviously, that's not really, it's not a lot of research you did there, is it? These guys who are starting in AAA, they could potentially be starting in place of the people who got hurt. Thanks. Glad I couldn't have looked that up myself.
So when Mark Sparrow was at Pitch Talks last night, we're recording this Wednesday, and he basically made it sound like one of the two will be Latos. These guys are going to be facing Mike Trout on the weekend. That's going to be fun.
Fun for Mike Trout.
Yeah. Casey Lawrence, well, you could handle Evan Longoria. Let's see how you do with this guy.
Yeah, and not just once or twice. If you're lucky, you'll see him three or four times. No worries. Yeah, exactly. Oh, well. They got to get through this Boston series first. So you wanted to touch on some good news here, I guess, for whatever reason. Fire away. What do we got?
Well, there's certainly not been a lot of it. But the good news is that the guys that are healthy, the starting pitchers, have thrown really well lately. And if you're hoping for some sort of rebound, the fact that these guys keep being as good as we hoped that they would be, and in some cases even better, has to be encouraging, right?
Yeah, I mean, Marcus Stroman, as much as he took a loss in the complete game, complete games, period, there were none last year, as we mentioned, I think, last time. That's about all you can ask out of a guy is to keep you in the game for nine innings, give the bullpen a rest. Anywhere close to that is great. Estrada was getting pop-ups again. Yay!
Yeah, I mean, they only played four games, I guess, since we did our last podcast. But, yeah, I mean, Liriano dominated the Orioles and they lost 2-1 because Blue Jays. Happ was dominating the Orioles and Sanchez had his blister issue, but he was pitching great his first time out. And like you said, Estrada, which they won that one 2-1, he shut them out through seven innings, I think it was.
Mm. And with the kind of results that you are looking for from Estrada, you're looking for soft contact in the air. And you started to see more of that again instead of the hard contact in the air that sort of bothered him the last time out.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this last time too, that it was just sort of fluky. He was leaving his changeup up, and that's not something you're going to see from Marco Estrada That's never been his problem, was with the changeup. And they hit all three home runs were on high changeups. And then he obviously fixed things his last time out and struck out 8, 7 base runners over 7. And that's the guy we're used to seeing.
Indeed. And then you want to talk about good old Joe Smith and the other Joe, Biagini.
Yeah, the two Joes are they're pitching well. I mean, we sort of, I think, expected this from Biagini based on, you know, just how last season ended. I think you'd agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was doing all the right things as that season came to a close.
Yeah. And then, but Joe Smith came over and there were some question marks about him. He was, you know, the last couple of years, he hasn't been as good as he was the previous four. And he had a bit of a home run problem last year. Well, those two guys have been absolutely dominant. Between them, they've given up 2 runs over 14 and a third innings. And Joe Smith has 8 strikeouts through 5. And they really have solidified the lead into Roberto Osuna. I expect that one or both of them will pass Jason Grilly on the depth chart.
Yeah, I can see that, because Grilly still has the I can't face a left-hander problem that we've been on them about for a while.
Yeah, and a bit of a home run problem. He's already given up 2 of them.
Not that I don't love Grilly, but again, you can help a guy by putting him in a position to succeed.
Yeah. A bullpen, like a 7th, 8th, 9th righties of Smith, Biagini, and Osuna, still pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm. I love a side armor in the mix. I really do. And the Jays haven't really had a good one for ages.
No. Like, I mean, the other guy who,
sort of.
Oh, sorry, go ahead. Yeah, Loop you just brought up. But he's doing really well. He's got 8 strikeouts in 4 2/3.
How many guys has he hit?
None.
See? Everything's good.
Aaron Loop has not hit a batter. He has given up 8 base runners in those 4 2/3, so it's not perfect.
We're at the take what we can get point from the middle of the bullpen, aren't we?
Yeah, only 1 run though.
There you go. So let's shall we discuss the ugly truth about the season though, or the ugly reality, or however you want to put it. The problem with going 2-10 to launch yourself into April.
I think we have to. So, would you like to lead it off?
So, it's less than 10% of the season. I understand that. But it's gone. So, you cannot get back 4 or 5 victories out of that part of the season. So, going forward, is there any reason, looking at the talent of this team, to assume that they are going to get 4 or 5 extra victories out of some 12-game section of the rest of the year? And I think, honestly, there isn't actually any reason to expect that, because they're not a team that had, as I would put it, they're not a team that had 95 true talent wins and just blew 5 of those potential wins in this funk. And now they're what's left is like a 90 win team. They were like an 88, 86 win team if everything broke right. And they just frittered away 5 of those. And now they're a 500 team. In my humble opinion, going forward.
I think my opinion was a bit higher. I mean, I think if everything broke right, as you just said, they are probably a 92, 93 win team. But of course, that's not usually how baseball works.
Mm-hmm.
I just quickly ran it. It's like, if you think this team was an 89 win team, which is semi-reasonable, and that's what they needed to get in the postseason last year. Well, now they need to play like a 94 win team the rest of the way without Donaldson, without Happ and Sanchez for an unknown period of time, without J.P. Howell for an unknown period of time. I mean, it's possible, but it's really hard.
Yeah. Now, there has been some talk of, all right, well, burn it down and rebuild it. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I'm not willing to concede that yet. But that's obviously something you wait for, see where you actually are, you know, at the end of June. If they go on a crazy hot streak, it has happened. Teams have done this. You know, if they go and win 16 of their next 19 games or something stupid like that. Now, like I just said, I don't expect that because of all the injuries. But if they do that, then all this is moot. But if you get here and it's July 10th and you're 3, 4, 5 games under 500, I think you have to do it. I think you have maybe not a full rebuild, but Liriano, Estrada, Bautista, Smith, Howell, all of them gone.
Yeah, I don't think you even have to be below 500 at that point. I think you just look at your position in the division, and if you are behind three or four teams for that wild card spot at that point, yes, anything can happen. But if you want to get value going forward, hanging on to these guys, you know, doesn't make any sense because the guys you all just quoted are all gone after this year.
So, yeah, the reason I limited it to those guys because, I mean, there's this talk that they should go full on rebuild, trade Donaldson, trade Hap, trade Sanchez, Osuna, whatever. But I mean, a lot of those guys that we just talked about before, I mean, they might have been gone anyway at the end of the year. So if you can just get value for them and then retool next year with slightly, you know, you'll get a younger hitter instead of Bautista, who looks 900 years old right now. You know? But you could come back and retool and go for it again next year without a full-on rebuild, whilst at the same time getting assets for your pending free agents.
Yeah, and the team does need to get younger regardless of what happens. Like, they are the oldest team in baseball, and they are unfortunately looking like the oldest team in baseball. That's surely not going to improve unless you, you know, fiddle with things, as you say, and retool it for next year. I mean, the only old good teams are Yankee teams.
Yeah. And again, we're not conceding that this is definitely going to happen. But it's something that, I mean, a lot of people are just outright dismissing. It's like, oh, it's early. Like, come on, you guys are being stupid to talk about this. Like, well, as we said, it's not that early anymore. I mean, the hole is deep, and it's a big thing to climb out of.
And I'm not saying sell everything in May.
No, of course not.
That's not the cliff we're jumping off of here, but I would not expect a miracle August like they had in 2015. Like, that's just kind of silly, right? And there are not the prospects to trade for replacements at this point. Not that I can see without really handcuffing yourself for several years down the road.
Yeah, exactly. And, right. You know, there's some tradable assets there that probably could get you some decent stuff. So
just for fun, I went and I took the months for every team of weighted runs created plus. So 100 is league average, above and below, and rank them in 2016. Because I was curious, people have been saying, oh, the Blue Jays, it's just been this 2 weeks, it's a good hitting team, you know, they'll come back. So that leaves you with 180 months of production from the 30 teams times 6 months. Follow me so far?
Yes.
So in June of 2016, the Blue Jays were the fifth best team by WRC+. In July, they were the 25th best team. This is all of the 180 months. In August, they were the 47th best month overall. And in September, they were 127th out of the 180 months.
Ooh.
So, this is not going, quote-unquote, the right direction for the Blue Jays.
No, it's really not. And it's not like they made a lot of changes to the offense. I mean, they brought in Morales and Pierce. Pierce has been terrible, but I expect that to get better. But, I mean, still have Tulo, Martin, Pilar, somehow Ryan Goins.
That's the 0 for 29 Devin Travis at one point. Yeah, it's been a strange, long, strange trip, to say the least.
Yeah. You know, it's like, but that, now what we just said, like, there's the encouragement that they could have a quick turnaround and maybe get some of those wins back. You know, like Devin Travis, I don't think you're expecting him to go this bad. I mean, he's hit 300 for his career, and he's hitting 105 with a 150 on base and a 105 slugging for an OPS plus of minus 27.
He broke the metric, folks. It's hard to do.
But now, one of the interesting things about that is, you know, he has 10 strikeouts in 40 plate appearances. That's not normal. You know, it's 25% strikeout rate. And this has been sort of the problem with these Blue Jays right now. I mean, it's not just that they're not getting the big hit. They're striking out at a high clip. They have the third highest strikeout rate in the American League as an offense. And that includes the Minnesota Twins, who have Byron Buxton striking out in 60% of his at-bats.
There's Mr. Take a Step Back. Holy cow.
Yeah. It's like something's wrong there.
Yeah, but I don't know what's wrong with the Blue Jays though. Like, do we? My curse of the batting coach, is he going to get the axe? Do you think just because of the downward spiral?
It's hard to say that it's going to make a difference because, you know, as again I'm referring to his pitch talks. So this came up. And Shapiro said that the batting coach's job with veterans is basically just to remind them what they were doing when things are going well. Well, he's not doing a good job of it. I expect he will get fired if this continues. Whether it makes a difference or not is just to get a change in there, because whatever's happening right now is not working.
No. And it becomes firing him for psychological reasons, but maybe that's a good reason to fire him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely it is. If it will spark your guys into doing something better, even if it's not actually a change, it's still a good change.
Yeah, strangely, way back in, was it 2008, Gene Tennis came back with Cito Gaston after Gibbons was fired the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And he did make the offense better. Not because he made them better hitters, but he got them to think about hitting differently. And apparently that was the main problem was, you know, in that season, was that they were thinking too passively at that point, I think was the problem. They couldn't, you know, they get runners on base, but couldn't drive them in because nobody wanted to swing the bat. And that's from Gene Tennis, who was not a guy who swung the bat very much in his career, if you know anything about his love of walks.
Yeah, exactly.
So that kind of mental reset maybe is, you know, not yet, but is a justification for getting rid of a hitting coach. It's just a different message, not necessarily a better message. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right. Sorry, Brooke, we've prematurely fired you. But we're gonna move away from the Blue Jays. I think we're going to move to a do-over.
Oops, I said the quiet part loud and the loud part quiet.
But what if you could do it all over again?
But what I really meant was...
I gotta say, there's a guy out in Pittsburgh who, at this moment, I'm sure wishes he could do it all over again.
Yeah, he's like, wait, if I go on this podcast, I cannot not be suspended anymore?
I'm sorry, we don't have a valid mechanism for rescinding your suspension, but we'd love to talk to you, Mr. Starling Marte. Starling Marte got dinged for a steroid, was it Nandrolone? I don't know.
They all ended alone.
What could I basically don't do drugs, kids. And then especially don't do drugs if you're part of an employer mandated drug testing program. You're probably going to get caught.
Interesting concept.
So Nandrolone is an injectable steroid, old school, you know, over the counter, not a designer drug. Why do guys keep getting, it's like one or two per year, getting nailed for these?
Well, yeah, last year it was donazolol or whatever, however the heck you say it. I can't even remember what it was, where it was like they had just introduced a new testing thing for it, where instead of being out of your body after a week, it was now 2 months. And all these guys get dinged. I don't know how it got in my body.
Okay. Sure.
Or tyrannable. I don't know how to say them. Well, they all sound the same. Yeah, this one, like you said, it's an injectable. And Starling Marte's statement, neglect and lack of knowledge that led me to this mistake with the high price to pay of being blah, blah, blah. Neglect. You stuck a needle in you.
Could have been vitamin B12. I don't know.
Was it Miguel Tejada?
I didn't ask. Yeah, I mean, when it comes right down to it, at this point, with the way MLB has, the attitude it has taken and the attitude the Players Association has come completely on, sort of almost onto the management side of things for cheaters, the risk reward has to be some real strange calculation that goes on in a guy's head.
Well, especially Starling Marte, who has a guaranteed contract. He signed a 5-year extension a year ago.
What are you worried about?
Yeah.
So on the
topic, well, you can give your do-over, then I'm going to bring it back to this if you like, but
yeah, sure. So Mr. Marte, if you'd like to come on the podcast and state that you really didn't have any reason to take a banned substance in the first place and probably would like your 80 games of payback, we can't do anything for you, but we'd still love to see you and talk to you.
All right, so you were talking about how players are coming over to the management side. So Rangers reliever, this is after the news that just came out, Rangers reliever Jake Dykeman said in a tweet, quote, "You get suspended, you make the minimum for the rest of your career. Take something they care about."
Dude.
What? Man, no.
Yeah, I don't think... No. It just doesn't even make sense.
Can you imagine, like, it's like you get the Angels. It's like with Pujols' contract. Like, hey, Albert, why don't you come up to the office for a drink? Hey, this drink tastes funny. What's in it? Nothing. It's just juice.
Oh, just juice. You're horrible. When they said juicing, I thought it was like Bobby Lane and just put it in the blender thingy and it was all natural. No, it was... They didn't lie to me, but they misdirected. It wasn't fair.
Exactly. See? It's like we told him exactly what was in there. There was no miscommunication on our part.
You know, I would not put it past the team to do worse things to save themselves $100 million.
No.
At all. Oh, my goodness. That's so wrong. Yeah, so he loses 80 games, playoff eligibility, and he really screws over the Pirates, who's hot prospect, Austin Meadows, not to be confused with a certain other Austin at a sport that we don't talk about, is like hitting like 120 in AAA right now.
Yeah, he's just not ready.
Indeed. So who knows? Maybe the Blue Jays will swap bodies because they're blowing it all up. And this will be more relevant to a Blue Jays podcast. Okay, so we did not get a lot of questions because we were recording early, but we're going to give it a shot. We're going to do the questions that we did get. And next week, we promise to record with more fair warning about questions, I think. So question number one, Josh, what do we have?
And I can do our question drop?
No, I don't.
That's so sad.
Question drop. You want to hear the question drop? Fine.
Yes, please.
All right. How long does it take for my thing to load?
Time now to hear from our listeners.
That just seems silly.
Here are the rules. First, I ask a question, then you ask a question.
Now, how does that sound, sweetheart?
Could you repeat the question, please?
I don't think we need to repeat the question. We just need to hear the question.
That drop is always so buggy.
I don't know what's wrong with it.
And it also started to play again that time.
Yeah, we'll clean it up in the mix.
No, we won't.
Maybe not. All right. Give me a question.
All right. So we only have two because, as Greg said, we recorded this very early and asked for questions very late. So from Connor Moore at the Seahound, who is the greatest Canadian Blue Jay of all time?
So can I go with the... I'm not going to answer that question directly. Who is the first Canadian Blue Jay you remember in your life? Before we get to the greatest Canadian Blue Jays.
Rob Ducey.
Denis Boucher.
He didn't pitch when I was old enough to watch baseball.
I'm a little older, but yes, Denis Boucher was. And then he got traded to Montreal, which I thought was really weird. It was like, is he only allowed to play in Canada? Is that how it works?
Yeah.
He wasn't good for either team, apparently. Greatest Canadian Blue Jay. I mean, he might be playing for the team right now, I guess. We're looking at Russell
Martin.
Yeah,
I think that's probably the answer. I mean, you could say that like Paul Quantrill pitched for the team for a long time, or that, you know, Rob Butler got a hit in the World Series. But I think it's got to be Martin.
Yeah, the bar is kind of low for Canadians as it were. Well, Matt Stairs is the other argument, I guess. You could argue that Stairs had a different kind of greatness.
Yeah, screw it. It's Stairs. Any guy who just goes up and tries to hit home runs every at bat is the greatest ever.
In case of emergency, use Stairs. Best t-shirt I've ever seen for a postseason. Okay, we had another question, which you wanted to frame up for me in a way that I could possibly answer.
So the question that came in was a little tough to answer. This came from Jed at, jeez, I'm going to try to read that.
B-E-A-U-X,
X-H-E-A-U-D-O-I-L, Zodoyle, I don't know. So I guess I did try. Early likely landing spots for deadline deals you'd like to see if there's a rebuild. Big topic, I know, but throwing it out. We can't answer that. I mean, it's like there's no idea of knowing. You have to see what teams are in contention, et cetera. The better question is, like, given the names that we think are likely to go if they get to that point, Liriano, Estrada, Bautista, and say Joe Smith, what kind of return do you think you're looking at for a group like that?
I think if you're looking at a deadline deal for Liriano and Liriano's pitching like he's pitched for the Blue Jays so far, I think you could get a major league ready prospect, not a star, but I think you could get someone who could fill a role for you. For Bautista, I don't think you're going to get much at all. I think you're going to get a lottery ticket because he's old and he's not going to be used, I don't think, as an everyday player by somebody who picks him up. They're going to be trying to use him, you know, as a part of a DH slash whatever need they have. Who was the other one? I've forgotten now.
Estrada.
Estrada is intriguing, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
I don't know what you get for Estrada. I don't think they're looking for major league talent, obviously, if they're blowing it up. I think they're looking for guys on the cusp of being in the majors.
This isn't blowing it up. This is trading your pending free agents.
Yeah. I think you could get another starter. Do you think someone will go starter for starter with Estrada? Someone who, or a failed starter?
Probably not. I mean, you are probably looking at lower prospects, guys in the double A.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the interesting thing to compare it to is you get there. I mean, the guys that have been traded recently, like Rich Hill or Mike Leake, you know, they've gotten major league caliber prospects, not stars, but guys that will be useful. And if Estrada keeps pitching the way he is, I think that's pretty much where he's going to fall into.
Mm-hmm. So there's hope, and you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with you on Bautista, though. I mean, obviously, if Bautista's hitting the way he's hitting now, then, yeah, no one's going to want him. But if he comes back and starts hitting, you know, at the level he was at last year or a little better, that's a starting player. No one's trading for that guy to put them on their bench.
I don't know that many other teams would play Jose Bautista in the outfield at the moment. I guess that's my big question mark. The Blue Jays play him out there because he's a Blue Jay. And
he has looked better. He's moving better. He's definitely throwing better. I mean, we talked about that in the last podcast. So I think there's still a viable major league outfielder there, especially if you stick him in left field where the standard for defense is so much lower.
Hmm.
Fair. I could easily see a team wanting that player and giving you something useful in return rather than like a lottery ticket, which is kind of like what the Jays gave up for Upton last year. I think it would be a much better return than that.
Only time will tell.
But the difference is he's a 10-5 player, so he'd have total control over where he goes, which makes it a lot harder.
Yeah. I guess he's a 10-5 player, even though he technically declared free agency.
Yeah, but he never left the team.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like last year, Encarnacion was 10-5 player, even though technically he got traded to Oakland and and then was released or non-tendered by Oakland and signed back with the Blue Jays. Because he never played a game for another team, it didn't count as him leaving.
I would love to be the person who wrote that language into the contract.
Seriously.
All right. So we're going to get to our weird item of the week, I think, as our last kick of the can here.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays, not Blue Jays, Major League Baseball has talked about possibly putting microphones on umpires in order to explain the obtuse replay rulings that they get from New York. I feel like the law of unintended consequences might kick in here. I feel I like... Oh, go ahead.
It's definitely going to kick in.
Most people, I don't know if everybody knows, but Joe West has a couple of country albums out.
Country Joe West.
Yeah, actual country music. So what are the odds of being presented with a microphone that Joe might go off script? Just one time to see what happens.
90%? I mean, some high number. But also, it's like, this whole stuff about pace of play and all that, the replays take long enough as it is. You're going to add a guy coming out, so the reason we determined that this one, like, come on.
Oh, yeah, it's not really like face masking on the defense. It's either either we decided he was there first and not last, or we agree that he was there first, not last, not first, or we couldn't tell, so we had to leave it like it was. Those are literally the only three replays.
Right, exactly. So how is that not accomplished by just saying confirmed? Or, you know, it's like overturned or just inconclusive. Like, how, just put a sign on the screen. Like, you don't need to have a guy come out and talk to people.
I also get, I would just crack up because some of these umpires, with the way they talk to players and everything else, is you could just see him going, he's safe. And another thing that I think all of you should know. It's like, quick, turn the mic off. I would actually like to hear the mic for those umpires while they're waiting for the answer from New York, not after the fact. I'd just like to hear them talking to one another about whatever it is you talk about while you're waiting for New York to make some strange determination.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I can't wait till Adrian Hernandez gets on the mic. Screw Country Joe West. Angel Hernandez will start arguing with somebody just for the sake of it.
He's arguing with his compatriot on the other end of the line.
He's arguing with the person. I said I wanted this volume set at 6, not 7. You're done. You're out of here.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It's only a matter of time before the umpires eject a member of the replay crew.
Which is another umpire.
No, I meant the poor guy who has the TV and the headphones.
Oh yeah, that guy. You're gone.
Get out of here. Oh my goodness. Do you have a final thought before we wrap up this strange show?
Just some roster update notes.
Okay.
So because of the injuries, Danny Barnes and Ty Kelly have been called up in the short term.
What is Ty Kelly
on the DL? He's an infielder.
All right. Good for him.
And Sanchez did have part of his middle finger removed surgically by Dr. Glenn Goldstein in Kansas City. He's supposed to resume throwing in a couple days.
That just sounds so wrong.
Yeah.
A little bit, just a little bit of your finger. You'll be fine. Is it going to grow back? We hope not. Okay. Oh, in that spirit, I will give you a friendly reminder that we do have a Patreon. As mentioned off the top of the show, it is www.patreon.com/turfpod. We would love to have you drop by, see different ways we're hoping to make the show better, and if you can afford to contribute a little bit to us, we would really appreciate it. That said, you have been Joshua Hausam at Joshua Hausam, and I have been Greg Wisniewski at Coolhead 2010, and this has been the Weird and Wonderful Artificial Turf Wars, episode number 53. We'll see you next week.